This week on Hyperspace Broadcast, we watch Batman the Animated Series, the long-awaited good thing that we watch. Welcome to Hyperspace Broadcast, a podcast where we discuss our memories of a specific Toonami program before watching it and trying to determine if it's worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Batman.
What's your real name, Batman? Are you going to reveal your identity on air?
Peter Eby.
All right. This week we're talking about Batman the Animated Series, episodes 1 through 13. So before we dive into that, I'm a little disappointed because I intended to see Justice League earlier today for the first time and woke up kind of late and didn't have time to do it. So We're going to have to forego my usual bashing of the DCEU to kick off a Batman-related podcast.
And I have no intention of ever seeing that movie, mostly because I've just not kept up with any of the DC movies. I'll probably see Wonder Woman at some point. I heard that was pretty cool.
Wonder Woman is good. Wonder Woman's what they should be, basically. But
right, and based off of what I've heard, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
doesn't sound like it's getting the best of critique.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's the thing is that they're trying to course correct, and that movie was basically too late in production for that to really be that plausible. So
it's so weird.
Yeah,
like I heard they were making one, and I was like, oh, that'll be in like 4 years or something, and then a poster comes out, and then a week later the movie's out, and I was like, what? Huh?
No, man, they've been talking about this forever. Like, this got pushed back, or wait a minute, that was Dawn of Justice that got pushed back a number of times. I mean, this one to an extent, but
I know they've been thinking of a Justice League movie forever, but I just didn't know, like, it just seemed like it all of a sudden came out for me.
That's interesting. I mean, I don't
pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah, like, right. And you don't see a lot of movies either, because they've been trailers for that should have been on, like, everything.
That's true. Okay. Yeah, because I knew ahead of time that Wonder Woman was coming out and all these other different movies, but with this thing, it's just, like, felt like it came out of nowhere. It's just like, I thought everyone would be talking about it. I'd be seeing ads for it or something.
That's so weird, because, I mean, of course, I'm in Los Angeles, so there's, like, posters every goddamn bus stop for it. It's pretty unavoidable here, of course, like every movie
I saw
is.
A picture of a poster of it on the internet. That's how I figured out. So I don't know if someone marketing's fucking up or...
I think it's just that bubble. You don't pay that much attention to it, and you're living in Traverse City where... You know, they're not going to be heavily putting out print ads for Justice League, because they know the people who are going to see it there are going to see it anyway.
Yeah, right.
At any rate, now that we've established our credentials as people who know stuff about media.
Yeah.
Let's get into Batman the Animated Series, because this is a show that we've been looking forward to watching for quite a while, I would say. Personally, anyway. Yeah, it's... Yeah. You know, I mean, it has a reputation for goodness.
Did you watch it as a kid?
I did.
So did I. A little bit. Like, I never, like, religiously followed Batman as a kid. I was kind of into it. I saw some Justice League episodes, too, like that. But, I've only seen bits and pieces, but I really liked what I saw.
Yeah, I watched it quite a bit when it was, like, first out. I probably on like Kids WB. I feel like I watched that channel a lot, or that program in any way. Right alongside like Animaniacs and shit.
I consider that a lower tier channel below the gods that were Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon. There were like the lower subterranean tier of WB and Fox Kids.
I don't even remember Fox Kids, man.
Like, Fox Kids was fucked up, man.
Was Fox Kids like you'd wake up really early for the bus and Pokemon was on it? That makes sense.
I think it was on WB though.
Yeah,
also
that's probably where I saw it. Whatever, the point is, I think I watched this when I was like kind of little, and so around the time that it was on Toonami was when I was hitting my, you know, snobbery of, oh, I'm older now and that stuff's for babies. So I was a real prick about the show as like a, you know, 10, 11, 12 year old, and then basically forgot about it until we were in college.
I mean, it was adult shows like Gundam Wing.
Yeah, and Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. Sophisticated shows. Little did we know.
Yeah, right. I thought that I was way cooler, way too cool for the baby show that is Batman the Animated Series, and traded it in for much dumber shows. But, you know, when I was in college, I think we just kind of stumbled across it one night. Like, we were just watching... What was it? There was like a channel. I think it was called Haboom.
Plumb the Depths. Oh, yeah.
And we watched it because Transformers and G.I. Joe, like the original cartoons, on it.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Boomerang. Kaboom was like another. I think it was like Hasbro owned it or something. Was another.
Yeah, I think it was called Haboom. Like not Kaboom. I don't really recall. Ugh, but
that's a cumbersome name.
Yeah. But the point is that they had, you know, at like midnight. Or like one somewhere pretty late at night, they played G.I. Joe and they played Transformers, and my roommates were really big fan of Transformers, or really big fans of Transformers. So we watched that, and then we started watching G.I. Joe because, you know, it's similarly funny. And then after that, they would have Batman the Animated Series. And like one night, we're just like, oh, let's watch this too. And then we did, and all of us were like, oh my God, this is great.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So I had kind of a, like, I guess, re-evaluation of the show, watched bits and pieces of it. I actually haven't sat down and watched the whole series at any point before now. But, you know, I picked episodes to watch and then proceeded to basically do the same thing with the Superman animated series and then, you know, watched basically the rest of the DC animated universe stuff. Which I've talked about it before. It's all really good, but this is the thing that spawned it.
Yeah, you know, and I'm pretty much the same way. Like I heard praise for it later years in my life. I never really thought of it as a kiddie show after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just didn't watch it until later. I caught some DCE stuff later on, or DCAU.
Yeah, yeah.
later on, and liked that, like the Justice League show, and also the I think at the same time they had this kind of like. After Toonami block that would have some action shows, like they had the X-Men show where they were all like college students, which I liked, and then Justice League and stuff like that would air. I'd watch that. In any case, this show, man, it deserves the praise it's gotten so far. Like,
yeah, like before we actually get into the episode stuff, though, of course this is an episodic show, so unlike, you know, Dragon Ball Z, for example, we're not going to be doing really a plot summary. We're just going to be picking our favorites and talking about them.
Yeah.
But basically, I think, like, maybe this doesn't need to be said, but this show is kind of legendary to an extent, I would say. Like, it is, at the very least, it has cemented itself a place in the DC universe in general, just by virtue of the fact that several characters that were created for the show became like serious mainstay characters in DC. I mean, Harley Quinn is the most obvious example. You know, she was created for this show. I think if you'd told me, like if I was an adult when this show was coming out, and someone said, hey, you see that side character that's like the Joker's girlfriend? In about 20 years, there's going to be a movie that features her as a major character, like as the female lead.
Right.
I probably would not have believed it, but it's true. Like Harley Quinn is a huge character in the DC franchise at this point. Less huge characters. Renee Montoya was created for this. She's a Gotham police officer. At one point, she was the Question, I believe.
Huh.
And then apparently there's a character called Lockup, which I'm not familiar with whatsoever. Lockup. But he was also made for this, so great.
Nice. Aside, and like, well, this besides the like credentials, the historical credentials of having characters that go on to live beyond the show, just the show itself is so stylized
in right.
both its like animation and I almost said and its style. It's stylized in its style, guys. But it's just like a very dark show. There's so much in the shadows. You see in the opening alone, like
yeah.
the entire opening is just made of like animated shadows.
Yeah, totally. The opening like, is silhouettes. Like
yeah.
It's
yeah.
silhouette fighting and it's gorgeous, and that's like what the show is very much. It's a very dark show visually in a way that, you know, I've said this before, but like prior to watching stuff like this, I watched like Scooby-Doo. This was a step yeah. up. Of course, since I watched them both when I was a child, like I probably didn't see the difference as much as I would now.
Yeah, right.
I think it's also worth mentioning before we really get into stuff that this is also the show that created the Mr. Freeze origin that's like most well known. Prior to this, he was just kind of a mad scientist. This is the one that established his wife's disease and him having a disease himself that he had to live in sub-zero temperatures. Similarly, I believe, and I might have to correct myself on this later, but I believe this is the show that established that Clayface is like a clay monster because of some like chemical he uses. I think he was just kind of like a regular, you know, masked villain before. I believe this is the one that decided like, oh, you know, he uses this formula that makes it so he can reshape his face because he's an actor, but then he gets addicted to it or whatever. We haven't watched that episode yet, but
yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah, right. So is the Mr. Freeze one.
But yeah, this block had a lot of different episodes, a lot of different villains represented in them. We've got like what, 3 Joker episodes,
which yeah, kind of a Joker overload, which I never thought I'd yeah. say given Mark Hamill's
Mark Hamill is the Joker in this and he's fantastic, but it is a little bit of an overload at first because it's like, okay, like come
well,
on.
Well, yeah, a quarter of these episodes are Joker, like
right,
that's a lot.
And two of them end the same exact way of like the Joker being suspended over lava and Batman having to help him because Batman yeah. doesn't kill, like
yeah, right.
great, thanks.
Could have,
don't make a redundant ending.
Yeah, and of course we have an episode that introduces Poison Ivy. We've got the Two-Face two-parter, which I believe you'll talk about later.
Yeah, well, the show, I like that the show also just introduces like normal Harvey Dent,
right?
Before anything involving Two-Face happens, because he of course turns into Two-Face through some shit that goes down basically,
yeah,
but like
right.
you know, we see him as a normal person, as like the prosecutor, head prosecutor,
yeah, the DA.
Gotham.
And yeah, he's in the first episode, like not for much, but you know, he's in it. The first episode of course is like the Man-Bat origin episode, which is a really good start to the series, honestly. Like just last night I was talking to a friend of mine at the bar who does animation stuff, and basically, I was just gushing about there's like one shot in it that Batman is being dragged by Man-Bat through this like skyscraper construction, and the camera is following them as they go through this, and watching it and realizing, oh, this is all 2D animation. I was like, how the fuck did they do this? Like,
right.
aside from, you know, drawing individual, like, I don't know, with computer animation, I can see how that would be done. And it's not easy, obviously, but, you know, you make, like, a really big image, and then you kind of, like, zoom in as you're, you know, pushing into it.
Yeah.
Whereas with this, like, I don't know what they did, but it looks fantastic. And in general, the show looks really good. Like, I'm probably going to say that about a billion times over the course of these 5 episodes, but it does. It looks great.
Yeah, the art in the show is fantastic. The backgrounds, too, have, like, a texture to them that we mentioned previously in talking about Batman, the Mask of the Phantasm.
Yeah.
There we go. Hold it. And it's just this really, it's such a cool style. It's so dark. The world is interesting, too, because everything is kind of in this, like 1940s technology or 1940s like style, but with higher technology.
Mm-hmm.
Like Batman's got like a bat jet and shit, but everyone still like drives very kind of rounded, like I don't know, 40s,
yeah, like classic cars. Looking cars, and there's yeah. like police Zeppelins. There's a lot of Zeppelins yeah. in this show,
a lot of dirigible action,
yeah, which is cool. And it, yeah, it gives it a really unique kind of atmosphere
and it doesn't go cool. over the top like steampunk or anything. It's not like everyone's wearing goggles and there's like steam vents everywhere.
Yeah, sure.
Like it keeps it on this level that's like intriguing but still kind of seemingly normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something about that I really liked.
It's neat.
Yeah. So with that, let's go into some of our favorite episodes and least favorite episodes. Doug, what was your favorite?
Well, there's an episode in this, it's number 7, it's called POV, and basically the idea of it is that Harvey Bullock and Renee Montoya and her, like, rookie partner all kind of botch this sting operation, or some kind yeah. of, like, bust. And then they're being interviewed by an internal affairs guy and Gordon afterwards, who are trying to figure out, you know, what the hell happened. And the whole story is told basically in flashbacks with voiceover from the characters explaining their perspective. And it's kind of like, and this is, I guess, a lowbrow example, the episode of King of the Hill, A Firefighting We Will Go, which is season 3, episode 10, where Hank, Bill, and Boomhauer accidentally burn down the volunteer firehouse.
Oh, I love that episode.
Yeah, and it's very much the same kind of structure of unreliable narrator. Of course, Batman handles it a bit differently in that in the King of the Hill episode, you have kind of their individual perspectives for yeah. specific events, and, you know, the universe and the animation and everything is built around their perspective. Whereas this, the visuals are communicating the, like, factual events, while yeah, yeah. there's voiceover communicating each person's perspective on them. And it,
which is really effective, I found, and kind of more effective in a short-term way they did it, like in the shorter time span they had to have a bunch of flashbacks, because it's not all flashbacks the whole episode. It's mm-hmm. like they start with a period of flashbacks, then it moves on to, like, resolving the plot. I thought it was really effective to just, like, have each person's telling of the story be folded into the true visuals of the story.
Yeah, right. Well, and I think the thing that's interesting about this to me, there's basically three reasons I like this episode. And the first is that it feels like a, like, unreliable narrator starter kit. Like, it handles the unreliable narrator, like, narrative structure in a way that's easily understood by kids.
Yeah.
And it's really effective at doing that. And, like, I love the idea of introducing what is, to an extent, a kind of sophisticated storytelling technique in a way that would be totally understandable for children. Like, you know, going back to me saying, oh, this show's for kids, as I was watching Dragon Ball Z, I was thinking yeah. about this, and, like, there is so little in Dragon Ball Z that is, like, up for interpretation or that you could even interpret in any way. Like, it's yeah. so straightforward and blatant, and there's nothing wrong with that necessarily. But, you know, compared to this, like, this episode in particular is just, it's introducing a more sophisticated concept to an audience and making them understand it, which I really appreciate. Like, that's good writing. Just,
yeah,
honestly,
and it's definitely also jarring to go to a show with sophistication from what is perhaps the most simple show ever created, Dragon Ball Z.
I mean, it's no, like, Teletubbies, but
sure,
you know,
but
you got a point. The other thing is that it's a Batman story that's told pretty much entirely from the perspective of the police, and that's, like, an effective thing that I really like. Recently, a friend of mine lent me the Gotham Central Omnibus, which is pretty much just a huge long comic series based on that very idea, where essentially it's just telling stories of Gotham police officers interacting with Batman's world, but not really with Batman involved. And that's like, I don't know, there's something about that that I really enjoy as like a fan of world building, of taking the perspective of regular people and transposing that onto a like fantastic world.
Yeah, there's an episode of Star Trek Next Generation that did that. That was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
Where it's like you take the, it's a whole episode just with random kind of mook characters, you know, the red shirts, as they used to be called, I think. The lower ranking guys.
Yeah, they're junior officers. Yeah,
the people who always randomly die.
That episode is season 7, episode 15, Lower Decks. It's not red shirts so much as just junior officers in general, but yeah, it's a similar idea of having a perspective that's kind of not that of the main cast and getting a view on the main cast that's different from, I guess, the omniscient view of the viewer.
Yeah.
So I could have maybe said that simpler, but whatever. So that's something I like about it a lot, too. Also, frankly, like, the last thing I like about it is it's an episode that heavily features Renee Montoya, and, you know, speaking of Gotham Central, she's a major character in that. Coming off of Ultron, it is nice to see a female character who's not a damsel. It's just nice. It's refreshing. Of course, different times, but still, like,
yeah,
it's cool.
I'd say, so for my favorite episode, I would pick the second part of the Two-Face two-parter. Two-Faces two-parters.
Yeah, of course the Two-Face thing has to be two parts, because it's Two-Face.
He is, you know, he is Two-Face two-furious.
Jesus Christ.
If you really want to get down to it.
I'm not sure I want to get down to that level, necessarily. But
I thought these episodes were fantastic. It tracks Harvey Dent, and it's like dealing with this kind of multiple personality disorder situation that he has. With this, like, himself and his, like, angry self. And the second episode is basically after he gets in the accident that makes him into Two-Face, kind of time jumps a little bit. And I thought it was kind of funny because it's not revealed that it's a time jump until a little bit, but he just comes in and as a villain now, and he has mooks already. Like, he already has just random jackasses.
Yeah, twins, like, of course.
Yeah. And it's just, like, I was thinking, like, so if you're weird looking or have a weird gimmick, do goons just flock to you?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this guy's got to be fucked up. He'll get me tons of money.
Yeah, I like the idea that Gotham has like a job fair with a bunch of crazy costumed villains. Like, I don't know.
That was the only market that opened up for Two-Face after his face got fucked up.
Yeah, right.
So there's like, might as well.
The Joker has like a huge long line of people willing to go on in his schemes, but then like Kite Man is just kind of standing by himself.
Yeah, you get people along the line trying to poach people from the Joker line. Just like, hey guys, come over here. Come on, look, I'm Kite Man. My dad got killed by a kite once.
I have no idea what Kite Man's backstory is, but he is a character.
Oh, he is. That's fantastic.
Or the Penny Pincher. Make up. The Penny Pincher is also a character that would probably not have much of a... or maybe it was Penny Plunderer. I think it was Penny Plunderer.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That sounds like a real effective villain.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's like the Office-based scam. Like, we steal 1 cent or like one half of a cent.
Yeah, a fraction of a cent.
Yeah.
That gets rounded off.
It builds up to millions. So yeah, this episode's fantastic though, because like Harvey Dent is just like this wrathful, crazy guy. Like his other personality is just like his pent up rage, and it's just driving him insane. And so he kind of goes back, and part of what I really liked about this whole two parter, but this episode in particular, is that you get to see someone decent be completely twisted into being a villain from the beginning. So it kind of creates a sympathetic villain out of a normal character that we've already had experience with before in previous episodes, a likable character. I really like that, and it did that in like a short amount of time. It wasn't like I think most shows would stretch that kind of thing out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you know, I don't know why Power Rangers came up, but I feel like that would be a kind of thing they'd do there.
Where it's, I don't like, know about
50
that.
50 episodes, one of the Rangers disappears and he's helping the bad guys, and then suddenly it turns out he was good all along. Maybe not, but in any case,
I feel like that's too sophisticated for Power Rangers. That's more of a madman move to like draw something out for as long as humanly possible. And I say that as a huge fan of Mad Men, but like it definitely takes its time with that kind of stuff.
When I like how this two-parter is so self-contained in that regard, like it doesn't. I don't think the character is necessarily over with by the end, but
right, he seems Two-Face he's kind of captured. Back.
He's captured, and he like seems actually kind of to be sorrowful and be a little more on the path towards healing as a character. And it's like really cool to see Batman so dedicated to want to save him because he's actually Bruce's friend, and almost to the point where it seems pretty suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
Or I at least I feel that way. I don't think it's actually addressed.
Hmm.
But it's like I feel like at some point Two-Face is going to be like, why do you care about me so much?
Well, to be fair, and I'm not sure how implied this is in the show now that I think about it, but like Harvey Dent and Batman were, I believe, like kind of, you know, they worked together to an extent. I mean, Harvey Dent was the DA, so Batman was helpful to him in that sense, in a career sense. But you do have a point there. I think one of the things I like about this, and this is really more the first episode of this pair, but Batman is a series that sometimes gets some flack for kind of treating mental illness shittily, in that pretty much all of his villains are just crazy people.
They all go to an asylum. That's their punishment.
So I think one of the things that I was pleasantly surprised by in this is that there is a bit in the first episode where they are like, you know, Bruce Wayne says to Harvey Dent, like, go to a psychologist, or I think he says like, psychiatrist, actually. And there's this, like, weird point where they're addressing therapy and how, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed of, etc. And I was like, I didn't expect that from Batman, let alone...
Of all places.
Like, I don't know. I mean, it was, you know, pleasantly surprising.
It's a nice thing to hear too. You know, I've dealt with mental shit in the past, and I still do. And
same.
Yeah, there's tough shit you got to deal with, and getting the message out there that it's okay to seek help is a good thing, because it took me a while to finally do that as a kid. In any case, if this is what the quality of the two-parters are going to be, then I am definitely on board.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, this
like with this longer plots, like I'm really into that.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well. Switching gears a bit, what about your least favorite episode, Peter?
So it was a little difficult to pick a least favorite episode. There was like two that kind of stood out to me. This one is called episode 12, It's Never Too Late. And this episode is just kind of, I don't know, there's something about it that didn't appeal to me. The whole point of this episode is like, there's this mob boss, this whole mob war's going on. One of the mob bosses is like aging, and I don't know, he's like trying to look for redemption or something, sort of. He's trying to get back at the other guy, and Batman tries to convince him to be redeemed, I guess. He finds out his son like got into drugs that his guys sell, and now he's like, oh, I gotta back things up. And he's got this like backstory, but ultimately I did not care about this character at all. Like,
yeah.
I like the idea of a villain seeking redemption and that happening in a Batman show, but this character was not, I don't know, not interesting to me. I did not care what happened to him. He had like an interesting backstory involving like his friend getting hit by a train, but also
his
not.
Brother.
His brother getting hit by a train, but
flashbacks,
then not.
Flashbacks. And then it's
like,
revealed
it's
at the
kind
end.
Of a, yeah, kind of a twist flashback thing. And his brother's actually a priest, and it's like all this other shit. And it's just like, yeah, but why do I care about this character at all? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
something
I mean,
about it that was just not appealing to me in that regard.
Right, and I think
and the drug stuff. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I think that's one of the things, because my episode's kind of similar, and this is one of my bigger points about this batch of episodes in general and the show overall. And you know, maybe this is me being you know, not comics fan, but a fan of these characters, but having episodes that don't really focus on Batman and also don't really focus on characters that I'm familiar with are, like, I just don't have much to latch on to. Like, I know this character is never going to be seen again. I know that it's all kind of just there. Like, it feels like a very special episode in a lot of ways, which...
Yeah,
it handles it well, but it still doesn't really compare to, like, the Two-Face stuff, for example.
When the whole drug aspect of the plot feels completely just inserted. Like, there's no mention beforehand, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, your son's in rehab because he got hooked on drugs, and now you push drugs, too. Your men push drugs, so you got to rethink things. And it just feels like it really comes out of nowhere. Like, I don't have a problem with that being a plot. I get it, but it just kind of gave it this kind of PSA / very special episode vibe.
Yeah, right. And that's the, I think that's the real weakness of it. It's just, it feels like a PSA. And again, to be fair, it's handled much better than like most other examples of that kind of thing. But it does feel like a slightly lower bar for this show in general.
Yeah, yeah. What about you? What's your least favorite? I think I have an idea.
Boy.
It's the other one that I had in mind.
Yeah. So the last episode that we watched for this block is episode 13, title, I've Got Batman in My Basement. And
what a name.
Yeah. The plot of this episode is essentially that Batman is dealing with a scheme by the Penguin, but he is found by two precocious tots named Sherman and Roberta. Sherman, who is like an amateur detective, and Roberta, who is his, I guess, sidekick kind of character.
Yeah.
And then he's like gassed, and they rescue him from the Penguin and then stash him in Sherman's basement. And then the rest of the episode is basically the kids foiling the Penguin. And like...
yeah. In a very, like, Home Alone-esque manner at some
point. Yeah, literally, like, it becomes Home Alone eventually. But bad with the Home Penguin Alone in Joe Pesci's place, I guess. And, or I guess he has two henchmen, so it's really more like the Penguin riding shotgun to Home Alone in general. Riding shotgun to the Wet Bandits. But, really, you know, my problem with this episode is basically the same as your problem with It's Never Too Late, which is that I just don't, like, I don't watch a Batman show really to see, like, kids save the day.
Yeah.
And I actually didn't, again, like, these were fairly well-written kid characters. Like, I actually kind of liked them. And there was a point about halfway through the episode where I realized this is a show that I would not hate if Batman and Penguin were involved. Like... I would be kind of okay with this if it was, like, these kids solving mysteries or something, but...
I didn't care for the kids too much. I thought they were a little too...
Well, they're not great, but, they're, you know, it's not like they're a bunch of Yulies, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
like, okay. It could be much worse, and...
I don't know. the thought of a multiple Yuli clone detective show would be pretty fun. A lot of just yelling out 90s... phrases like,
yeah, just skateboarding and
smoking,
quoting The Mask, and then being completely incompetent at everything and having to be saved constantly by each other. I guess I'm not sure how that works, but oh god, yeah, I don't know. Like, the kids are very precocious tots, don't get me wrong, but
the Penguin's handled like shit in this.
Well, yeah, and that's the other real problem is, like, this is an episode, this is the first one with the Penguin in it, and he just gets essentially beaten by a bunch of kids. It's like, all right, it's not to establish a threatening villain. He just looks like a moron.
When I saw it was a Penguin episode, I was like, oh, cool, we get to see, like, the introduction to this character, or see what this guy's about. Or at least, like, get some kind of, like, compelling taste of his abilities.
Well,
no,
the Penguin doesn't really have abilities.
Well, see, I didn't know that. And now, like, to me, it's just like, oh, he's a guy who's, like, kind of wealthy, and he is really good friends with the Vulture.
Yeah, and he makes a lot of bird puns. A lot of
terrible bird puns, yeah.
like a Mr. Freeze and Batman and Robin number of bird puns.
It's, that level, yeah.
Yeah, that density.
It's, and it's like, this guy sucks. Like, what a shitty character. It's like, everyone else has like an interesting reason for being there. There's a Poison Ivy episode that introduces her. That's really cool.
Yeah,
like,
right. Gives some like, idea of... Yeah, but...
Scarecrow, even Man-Bat.
Yeah, but Penguin, they don't really introduce him. And I honestly don't really know what the Penguin does in this show. Like, that's a thing. My knowledge of the Penguin is pretty much entirely drawn from... You know, Batman Returns, and
speaking of which, do you think they just Do you think they just threw him in because Batman Returns was out and kids are familiar?
No, because the Penguin's a classic villain. Like, he was in the '60s show, for fuck's sake. I mean, yeah,
kids
they're gonna put
know
him
that.
In. Well, sure, but I mean, that's not really an argument, though. Like, oh, are kids gonna know the Joker is a classic villain? Not necessarily. Why throw him in there? Like.
They know him more than the fucking Penguin.
I guess. I don't know. Like, the Penguin's a classic Batman character. I think it would have been very strange to not have him in there.
Yeah.
He's in he's in all of the Arkham games. Like, he's a well-known character.
I want him in there. I just want to know him.
Right,
I feel like
exactly.
I don't know him.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is I honestly don't know what they do with him in this, except, I guess, have him be bird-themed. Like... As I was saying, my whole knowledge base of him is more or less based on the Arkham games, where he's like an arms dealer, and it works, but I don't know if they're doing that here. I don't know what they're doing yet. I hope that there will be a Penguin episode where he's not foiled by children at some point.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll have one that handles it better. I mean, there's, 109 episodes of this whole thing?
Like, yeah, they'll, yeah, there will be a Penguin episode that's good. I do think it's funny, too, that there in this... The kid has a poster of the Joker in his basement for
that
some
was
reason.
Weird. Batman didn't comment on that. Like, what's the deal with that? It's just Joker's face, and it just says Joker.
Yeah, I imagine it's supposed to be a wanted poster, but I also kind of like the idea of the Joker producing posters of his own face and selling them.
Yeah,
and this kid deciding to buy one. Also, in general, there are like a decent number of episodes in this block that are Batman dealing with kids, which, like, there's three of them. And in general, I just didn't really care for any of them. This one's the most Batman dealing with kids episode, though, of the block. So,
yeah, sure. Most directly.
There's yeah,
another one where
I mean,
it's like,
my stand in for all three of those episodes, basically.
You know what? There's one thing that tickled me in the Harvey Dent episode that I forgot to bring up. And that's when Two-Face comes back from one of his, like, kind of crazy spells of, like,
one of his rage spells.
He's hypnotized into going to his rage side by a hypnotherapist, and he then just, like, starts breaking everything in the office. And she snaps her fingers to get him out of it after he, like, destroys the window, and it's all rainy and everything. It's a really cool scene. And he goes, "Did I do this?" Naturally, the first thing that comes to mind for me is what if he was Urkel? What if Urkel was like Two-Face and like, because he has an alter persona?
Yeah, Stefan Urkel.
Stefan Urkel or Urkel? I think I'm not
it's
sure.
It's Urkel.
Which one it is.
I'm pretty certain because he's cool.
Yeah, it's like so he like how Harvey stored all his like latent childhood hatred into another personality, sort of. Urkel stores all of his uncoolness or all of his coolness, his latent coolness that
Stefan
he can't express.
Urkel.
As Stefan Urkel, and he sometimes just swaps to the other guy and just slides into the room.
Well, here's what I'm saying though.
Did I do this?
here's my question about this scenario of the Urkel Two-Face is which version of Urkel, like, I'm assuming that he becomes Two-Face at some point. It's not just him having a split personality. So if he becomes Two-Face, which is the dominant Urkel? Is it Steve Urkel or is it Stefan Urkel?
Well, the way I see it happening is Urkel does something. He's at like a dance and he's
thinking about this way harder than I expected.
I'm just trying to think of like a plot line that would make sense. He's at a dance. Someone spikes the punch. But okay. he realizes his nerdy self realizes the combination of the stuff with the punch makes it strong acid. And so he's freaking out, and he slips on a banana peel, or like someone left some drugs on the floor they slips on. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Slips on drugs. That's really interesting.
That's a pretty big stretch. Yeah, he slips, and he falls, and he... right when he's, like, trying to lean in and kiss the girl he's, like, dancing with and, like, I don't know, like, has been dating and, like, actually got to kind of like him as an uncool kid.
Whoever the girl is in that show.
Yeah, in that show that neither of us watched. And then he slips, pours all the fucking juice all over himself, burns his face up horribly, and he's, like, and everyone is just laughing. And he, at that point, stores the remainder of his missing coolness into his body and transforms into into Two-Face.
Into Cool Face, I think.
Cool Face.
No, wait. Needs to be gets, Urkel, no, but
Cool Face works. Cool Face Urkel. And he gets up, and then he just starts fucking dancing. And he's like the best dancer. And everyone's like, your face is fucked up, but goddamn. Or yeah. Maybe it fucks up his face in a way that makes him look really beautiful on one side of his face.
Yeah,
it, like, just melts off the glasses on one part, and, like, his hair gets longer and kind of, like, nicer looking and teased
out.
Yeah,
right.
So he's kind of really, like, 90s cool.
Yeah, so basically he has, like, a monocle on his Urkel side, like a horn-rimmed yeah. monocle. But then on his Urkel side, he doesn't need glasses.
Did I do that?
Yeah, or, like, braces, maybe. I don't really know.
Anyway.
I like this idea. I like the idea that the deformed Two-Face version of Steve Urkel is actually really cool and everyone likes
yeah,
him.
Yeah, half really cool, half really nerdy.
Yeah. Anyway, with that, let's get to the break.
Yeah, I'm still thinking about it. Let's go.
Hey there, listener. We just wanted to thank you for listening. I hope that you're enjoying the episode so far. If you like the podcast, why not subscribe on iTunes? And while you're there, consider leaving us a review if you really like it. If you want to interact with us more directly, we'd love to hear from you. We can be found at facebook.com/HBpod and Twitter @HBpod. Our next episode will be up on December 6th, and we'll be back to Batman the Animated Series in just a moment. All right, well, back from our break, continuing to brainstorm the Urkel cinematic universe.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts about
UCU?
The UCU. Urkel cinematic universe. What are your thoughts on Batman the Animated Series so far, Peter?
I'm impressed. You had forewarned me a little bit. You're like, I heard the first couple episodes are kind of whatever
mm-hmm.
in comparison, which I don't really agree with. I actually quite enjoyed the first couple episodes and this whole block, really. And of course, you know, that you said that, I think, based off of some limited knowledge of public opinion, not your own.
Yeah, to be fair, I read, like, a cracked article that complained mostly about the density of Batman and Kids episodes, which I kind of agree with.
Okay.
But
which those were the worst. But the overall, man, like, the show is really just fantastic. Like, I'm just, you know I'm gushing, but it's like, yeah, it's extremely well voice acted. It's well written. The stories are continuously pretty, like, interesting, and very thrilling moments happen in any given episode, pretty much. It's there's good action, and the animation is just spectacular. Like, mm-hmm. it's a really good looking show. They so much effort put into it. The only thing that concerns me is, like, will they be able to keep that up for 109 episodes? Because that's
right.
a lot.
Yeah, we'll
but,
see.
I'm excited to see in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I know that, like, the final season of this, which came quite a bit after, I believe, because it was to coincide with, like, the Superman animated series.
Uh-huh.
So they changed the animation style and some serious things about it, but that is still pretty damn solid throughout. So I think we're in for a good run here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Good feeling.
hopefully we won't be on our fifth episode like, Jesus Christ, I just want to watch anything else at all.
I mean, I think binging any show might lead to that, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the problems with the structure of the show is that none of these shows were probably meant to be binged.
Right,
since that wasn't a thing. But that's true. Even so, it's just like, this is a... It is nice to start a new show and be like, hey, I'm not dreading watching this.
You know, yeah, right.
It's not like the only thing about the show that I know I'll enjoy is like riffing on it a little bit and then also just yeah. sharing in misery with you.
Yeah, right.
Instead, it's like, oh, I'm actually going to enjoy this. Like,
yeah, and yeah. This is actually maybe the first time in a while that we've had a first episode of like a full series watch where yeah. we haven't both been like, oh, Christ, no.
Yeah, yeah. Like Sailor Moon, I'd say turned out overall to be pretty enjoyable.
Oh, yeah, sure.
First block of that was miserable.
Exactly. Like first block of reboot. Was pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
We had a couple shows there where the first block was really dreadful.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I really enjoy this. Like, honestly, my note is, what can I say? It's Batman the Animated Series. Like,
yeah.
This show has been talked up a lot for good reason. It's really high quality. And I think one thing I wanted to point out that I don't think I mentioned earlier, which is you mentioned the voice acting. Apparently they recorded like all together instead of individually,
that's
which is
best.
What most voice acting stuff does. And yeah, it's awesome because of that. Like, I really respect that decision a lot.
Yeah. Just it makes all the dialogue so much more natural feeling.
Well, yeah. Cause you can play off of each other, you know, like you would in live action,
in real life.
Yeah. I think that the only like real criticism I have of this, which I've talked about a little bit, is just that, I mean, again, the kid episodes, but really they're just a symptom of, I don't really have a lot of interest in the show when it's focused on a character that I know I'm not going to see again and that I'm not in any way familiar with, which is, you know, that probably wouldn't be an issue for like a kid, to be fair, and that is who this show is for, so fair enough. But as an adult watching it, when I get to, you know, the mob boss with the son addicted to drugs, I'm like, all right, I really don't care, because this character will never show up again.
The cartoonishly obese southern prison warden who is in every scene eating extremely greasy food.
Like, just talking like, with a full mouth and
just a very insane like fat person stereotype. That's just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
I get like having an obese person, even having an obese person who likes food a lot, but that is just insane to me.
Yeah, well, and that's another
that
episode
kids,
that's kind of
another...
just like, all right, yeah, it's just Batman or Bruce Wayne loses his memory. And, you know, to be fair, that episode's not that bad because it also is Alfred doing some sleuthing, which is nice. But, you know, I like the episodes that focus on, like, Batman or, you know, one of the police officers or one of the villains or Alfred even. But
yeah, an established character, really.
Right. But when it focuses on someone that is not only not established, but it is relatively meaningless just in the show in general, I kind of tune it out.
Yeah, when it's clear that the character's going to be a one-off, it's kind of like, okay. Like, we know how important you are. You're going to disappear and never come back again.
Yeah, and it's not even necessarily, like, a character that's a one-off. It's just a character that doesn't have much to them. Like,
yeah,
because the kids are all just kind of precocious tots, and the mob boss is just kind of like a mob boss. Like, there's nothing that unique. I mean, that's the other thing that's helpful about, like, Two-Face, for example. There's a very distinctive personality and gimmick to latch onto. Which there isn't with Detective Kid, who looks like Arnold from the Magic School Bus.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to the next block. As I said, the Mr. Freeze origin episode is like the next episode we have to watch.
I'm psyched for that.
Yeah, the Clayface two-parter. There's a Catwoman two-parter. There's an episode with the Clock King. Like, there is a lot of good stuff in this next block, and I'm really excited to get to it. But before we do that, we should probably talk about a bet. So I have a couple of ideas.
Sure.
My first idea is that for some reason, we're watching this on Amazon, and sometimes the like intro to the episode, instead of being the Batman the Animated Series intro, it'll be the intro for the new Batman Superman adventures.
Right, which is just wrong.
Yeah, like, and that seems
I don't think
to
that's a thing to at least like the last season.
Yeah, and that seems to happen more or less at random. I thought we might like bet on how many times that happens in the next 13. The other thing that I was thinking of was like how many times bat vehicles are shown.
I do like that. Yeah, like specific. Is that any vehicle that's a specific bat vehicle?
Like yeah, bat like motif, the bat or cycle, or like Bruce the owns. Bat boat, or like the yeah. bat wing, or the Batmobile. Basically, any like vehicle that Batman uses specifically.
About number of dirigibles seen outside of the opening.
I don't know about that one.
I guess there actually really isn't that many.
Yeah, the Scarecrow has one, and there's like one with police in the very first episode in the very beginning. But
now I tell you what, I like that bat vehicle idea.
Okay, let's go with bat vehicles.
Now, are we talking distinct bat vehicles, or are we talking shots of bat vehicles? Let's do distinct, right? Like how many different vehicles do we see? Because we're obviously going to see the Batmobile a ton of times.
Yeah, well, let's do distinct vehicles per episode. How about that? So, like, if the Batmobile and the Batwing are both shown in an episode, that's two. But if the Batmobile is, like, constantly used in an episode, that's just one. Does that make sense?
So, like, you would bet that there will be an episode with four different Bat vehicles in it?
No, I would say, like, total how many Bat vehicles are shown.
Oh, okay, and you count it per episode. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I'm done with that. I may have to think about on that a little bit, but
I mean, it's rare that there's two in one episode, so I think I'll make the first bet. I think I'm gonna say six. That might be kind of low, but
I will do 10.
Okay, cool.
10 total.
Alrighty, well let's start counting those bat vehicles.
Alrighty.
And get
counting
on.
Those bat. What a call to action. Let's start counting those bat vehicles.
Now, do you think there's going to be a bat snowmobile in the Mr. Freeze episode?
I'm sure. Like, I think I had that action figure. Like, the snow Batman.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Just like Batman with light
white
blue
gear.
Armor.
Yeah. That might have been from Batman and Robin, though.
Yeah, that was like the one Batman toy I ever had.
Damn. Do bat ice skates count?
Yeah, okay. I guess so. It's a vehicle.
Yeah, sure.
Is there a bat horse ever?
Probably like in one of the comic? Elseworlds ones.
That's
going
to say, do they ever do one where it's like medieval Batman and he has to get on his bat-themed horse?
Well, there's one where it's like Gotham by Gaslight, I think, where it's like, you know.
Which is like steampunk, yeah.
I don't think so. I think it's just set. It's like Jack the Ripper. I can't remember
like
what
Victoria.
It's like Victorian. Yeah, yeah. I was having trouble pulling Victorian for some reason. That could involve a bat horse, a bat steed.
Ace the Bat Horse.
Man, I can't wait to watch Batman Beyond because Ace the Bat Hound is technically in it.
Oh God.
He's just a dog, but his name is Ace. And
okay,
he is
at least
Bruce
he's not
Wayne's
like
dog.
Yeah. At least he's not like a Scooby-Doo type.
Yeah, right. Or whatever the shit.
What Astro the Jetsons dog?
No, I'm trying
Wait,
to
no,
think
Astro
of
Astro is the Jetsons kid. Whatever.
No,
fuck
Elroy
it.
Is the Jetsons kid. I think Astro is the dog. I'm thinking
is
of...
this worth listening to still?
I'm just trying to pull the name of Blue Falcon's dog sidekick. I'll talk about it next episode.
Gives a fuck about Blue Falcon.
I do, damn it. All right, well...
That's our show, folks.
Yeah, be sure to revisit us next week as we take down Batman episodes 14 through 26. As always, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And thanks for listening.
Batman.
A correction. Batman the Animated Series did change Clayface's origin story a bit, but you know, it didn't come up with the idea of him being a clay monster, as I may have erroneously implied. Some acknowledgments. Bumpers were taken from the video Cartoon Network Batman TAS Bumpers and Promos of Twitter by TWO96. The opening and closing music, as always, is Vapor Dive In by Anatech off the album Anatech Instrumentals Volume 6. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud, and I recommend that you do. Rights were secured through Gemento.
The Akira Kurosawa movie?
No, I'm thinking of that King.
Okay, go with that one.